With SDPB Radio News, I'm Lee Strubinger. Governor Kristi Noem says a county in east central South Dakota is at risk of community spread of the coronavirus within a matter of days. Those comments come as six new cases appear in Beadle County, bringing their total COVID-19 cases up to 10. The state is confirming seven new cases of COVID-19, bringing the total number of cases statewide up to 21. Beadle County has almost half of them. Six new cases were announced there, ages ranging from about 10 years old to the 60s. Noem says the investigation indicates the new cases are related to current cases, meaning they've interacted with someone who has already tested positive. Noem is asking Beadle County to take extra steps to protect its population.
I'm asking them to take more specific, greater hygiene practices. Schools will be closed. We are encouraging them to do telework where possible. The rest of the state, we've already encouraged that. For Beadle County, I want them to take that seriously. Self-isolation is incredibly important. For Beadle County, I want them to stagger their work schedules. I want them to limit non-essential work travel and do regular health checks on individuals, making sure that they are staying home, that they are healthy, and they're taking the situation in their county specific and seriously.
Brown County now has a case of coronavirus. The state says it's travel related. Noem says more than 700 low priority tests are being done out of state. She says the state will have an update on 29 high priority tests soon. Noem says six people who've previously tested positive for COVID-19 have fully recovered. As efforts to slow the spread of coronavirus continue, the number of people donating blood is declining. SDPB's Andrew Bork has the story.
Since the first case of coronavirus in the U.S., blood donations are down 25% nationwide. Ken Versteeg is the executive director of Community Blood Bank in Sioux Falls. He says 19 blood drives in Sioux Falls alone have been canceled.
And what that equates to is basically about a week's worth of our blood needs are gone. And without these emergency pop-up blood drives that we're hosting around the area, we wouldn't be able to provide the basic foundation for the medical industry here. So, you know, we're grateful for all these people hosting these events because losing 500 plus units of blood is a real significant impact in our local supply.
Versteeg says the blood bank relies heavily on volunteers and they are taking extra precautions to ensure social distancing and limiting the potential for exposure.
Be rest assured when you come on the bloodmobile, everything's sanitized, especially we sanitize the most common touched areas.
Versteeg says people still want to donate, but are unsure what to do during this time of social distancing. He says only individuals who have been healthy and symptom-free for 2 weeks should donate blood.
If you are experiencing very similar effects like a flu or a cold or something coming on, we're gonna ask you not to donate blood that day. If you have the sniffles, runny nose, headache, if you're experiencing some body ache or something like that, we're gonna ask that you not come to blood drives today.
For any questions regarding whether or not you should donate, locations you can give, or general information, visit the Community Blood Bank website. For SDPB, I'm Andrew Bork in Sioux Falls.
For many South Dakota businesses, things are far from normal. But despite the coronavirus pandemic, many of the state's farmers and ranchers are making plans for the upcoming season. Charles Barron is a co-founder and chief innovation officer for the Farmers Business Network. He says he's had dozens of conversations recently with farmers all over the nation. So far, the virus hasn't introduced many new factors into the business decisions farmers make.
The challenges that they've faced or that the corona epidemic has created in the business environment have been manageable or typical business risks for a farmer. So lower prices on the corn, hog prices going down. It's pricing pressure thus far. It hasn't been fundamental supply chain disruptions.
Barron makes light of the fact that the farming lifestyle already includes social distancing. Most farmers he's talked with aren't making major personal adjustments. However, Barron says farmers are still concerned about the health crisis and its potential effect on the global food supply. The shift to online learning for the nation's K-12 students presents new challenges for educators, but some tribal schools are struggling with the transition for different reasons. Their technology infrastructure and internet access aren't strong enough to connect isolated students. SDPB's China Lockett has more.
Indigenous educators are working to include tribal schools and communities in conversations about the shift to distance learning. The National Indian Education Association advocates for Indigenous education services at federal, state, and local levels. Diana Knoyer is an Oglala Lakota and the group's executive director. She says tribal schools are shut down, and the move to online learning is a challenge.
183 elementary and secondary Bureau of Indian Education schools have closed. Haskell Indian Nations University has decided to go to online classes. Our tribal colleges and services have had to move to online if possible.
Knoyer says this disproportionately impacts students who live in rural areas, like reservations in South Dakota. She says lack of broadband and limited access to technology and equipment makes distance learning a struggle. She says more than 30% of Native students don't have internet access.
This is widening this education equity gap that we continue to argue for and debate and fight on the Hill, at the local level, at the federal level.
Knoyer is concerned some students are already behind, and if these issues aren't resolved, it will get worse. The Indian Education Association is working with policy leaders to include tribal schools in federal responses to the coronavirus.
We're advocating for $40 million for the extension of classes for an estimated 4 weeks of the Bureau of Indian Education schools, including institutions of higher learning. We're advocating to expand the health insurance benefits for our educators and our staff that are working at our Bureau schools, 130 tribally controlled schools.
Knoyer says they're also working to ensure students who depend on school lunches have access to healthy meals. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Chyna Lockett in Rapid City.
This is SDPB.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends. Together we can make a more civically engaged South Dakota. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.